Now, all right. Now that I'm on the record. Still, there was Oreos up here. Casual, backed out. Come on. Really? It's crazy. But as they said, I am from the Casual Assembly, and we are no longer in the basement. We've been out now for some time. We came out above ground. We are no longer in the underground church. But anyway, it's good to be here. It's good to have y'all. It's really crazy because I really feel like I was just actually sitting where y'all are sitting not that long ago, which depends on who you talk to. 6 years may or may not be that long ago. To me, it doesn't feel like that long ago, which makes me feel old at 24, and that's not right. So anyway, we won't talk about that. But our subject, as you have seen on your flyer, is Christ, a life centered around Christ. Christ is the center of our life. And if you'll go ahead and open your Bibles to the book of Philippians, we're going to be in the book of Philippians mainly through our three sessions. That's going to kind of be our home passage, if you want to call it that. And while we're turning in our Bibles to Philippians, go ahead and be going to chapter 3. Can I ask one of the young men to open us up in a word of prayer? Any volunteers? All right, go ahead. Amen. So if you'll turn your Bibles to the book of Philippians, and we're going to start tonight, we're going to be in chapter 3. And that song we just sang, you know, it's so true, lead me to the cross, counting all things is loss for the sake of Christ. So Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to go ahead and take a peek, kind of do a quick little overview of what we're going to be looking at in our next three sessions, or next, this being one, the next two sessions. But Philippians chapter 3 is where we're going to be tonight. And we're going to be looking at the life of Paul and how Paul, his whole life was just centered around Christ. As you follow the life of Paul from Acts on through his letters in the New Testament, you just see a life that is fully dedicated and centered around Christ. Paul cared about nothing else but his Savior, Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 7. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7 says, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ." And hold your finger there, because we're going to come back. But if you'll turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. Many of us, we know this verse by heart. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. Says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." And then jump over to chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 20. Paul, speaking to the believers here, says, "For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state, for they all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ." And so as we see through these three passages, we see a focus on Christ. In Philippians chapter 3, it's, "I count all things as loss for the sake of knowing Christ, for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ." In Philippians chapter 1, it's, "For me to live is Christ." And then in Philippians chapter 2, we see that Paul says that there are those who have no interest in the things of Christ, who are not willing to invest their time, who are not willing to invest their effort into the things of Christ, but they are concerned about their own personal interest. And so we see this pattern, this theme, as we're going to look through these three passages in Philippians. So go back with me to chapter 3. Chapter 3, and we're actually going to pick up in verse 1. Philippians chapter 3, and starting in verse 1, and we're going to go through verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same thing to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh, though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death." And so we see in this passage, Paul says, "I count all things as loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus." Paul held the knowledge of Christ Jesus, the privilege of knowing Christ as his personal Savior. He valued that above all else. And Paul would value his Savior to the point that he said, everything else in this world, anything that does not glorify Christ, anything not done for my Savior, is a loss. It's loss. It's rubbish. And so as we look at this passage, the question before us is, do we value Christ? Do we value our Savior? Do we hold him in such high regard? Is he so important to us that everything else in this world is rubbish? That everything else in this world is worthless in comparison to him? And what do I mean when I say value Christ? Do we hold him in that first place position in our lives? Do we hold him in such high regard that he has first place in our lives? Do we value Christ to the point where anything that does not glorify Christ is considered worthless, a waste of time, or a loss? Is he important enough to us to be number one in our hearts and our lives? Is he the center of our life? Here in Philippians, we read about how Paul valued Christ. Anything not done for him was counted as a loss. It was counted as worthless. And as we read from verse 1 down through 6, we see Paul's previous life, his life before Christ. And it was not a life of leisure. Paul lived a very studious life. Paul lived a very successful life. Paul was one who was successful in the Jewish culture. Paul was one who was going places. He had high education. He had an IQ. Paul was going places in life. He was zealous. He said he was zealous above all his peers. And so we see that Paul looked back on a very successful, very prominent life in his culture, and he said it was all loss. All the things that I did, all the achievements that I had, loss. They were a waste. They were a waste of my time. And as we look at the word for loss, it's only used four times in the New Testament. It's used twice here in Philippians in the passage we just read. The other two times are in Acts when Paul is shipwrecked. And he says the ship was a total loss. It was sunk. It was gone. It ran upon the reef. It was broken to pieces. It sunk to the bottom of the sea. It was a loss. And that is the same word that Paul uses when he says, "I count anything not done for Christ as a loss." You park your car on the railroad tracks. The train comes by and hits your car. The insurance company is going to say, "I'm sorry, but your car is a total loss. We cannot salvage your car. We're not going to try to rebuild your car. It is a total loss. It's going to the scrapyard. It's going to the crusher." It is a total loss. And so when Paul says that he counts all things as loss in light of the excellencies of knowing Christ his Savior, this is the word he uses, a total loss. It can't be salvaged. It cannot be regained. It is time lost. It is opportunity lost in light of knowing Christ. And so this was Paul's stance. This is how Paul lived his life, and this was the extent to which he valued Christ. And when compared to the things of this world, the things of this world were rubbish. He said they're worthless. They're rubbish. And so Christ is so worthy, so valuable, that as a servant of Christ, when I waste my time on anything that does not bring glory to him, anything that is of this world or of my flesh, it is a loss that cannot be regained. It's taking money and setting it on fire. It's like running my car off a bridge. It's a loss. You just wasted a resource that you were given. It's gone. There is no, let me try that again. Oops, I wasted my time. Can I have some of it back? It is a loss. It's gone. If it's not for Christ, then whatever we as believers spend our time, spend our money on, when we waste it on the things of this world, it is a loss to us. We can't regain those opportunities. We can't regain that time that is lost. And so this was how Paul valued his Savior. Christ was so important that the things of this world were worthless. They were like a sunk ship, worthless. They were lost. Romans chapter 11 and verse 33 says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." Paul loved his Savior. To Paul, Christ was the most valuable, the most important person in his life. Paul's life was centered around Christ. So how do we value Christ? How do we, in our personal lives, value Christ? If I were to ask you, do you value Christ? I would hope that most of you would say yes. If I say, do you value Christ above anything and everything else in life? Some of you might say yes. Some of us might look inside and say no. But if I were to take the time to study your life, to study the way you live, to study the way you spend your time, to study where you put your resources, to study where you invest your time and your money and your enjoyment, would I find that you value Christ above all else? Would I find that Christ is the most valuable thing to you, or would I find the thing that I find so many times in my own life, that it's the things of this world that take my attention, the things of this world that have my value, the things of this world that I'm spending my time on? Do we tell ourselves that we value Christ? We tell ourselves, oh yes, Christ is the center of my life. But do our actions say that? Does our life back up our statements? This is what Paul lived. This is not just what Paul said. Do we value Christ? Do we agree with God that His Son is beloved, excellent, and precious? Do we agree with God that His Son is of the utmost value? It's not a matter of if Christ is worthy of our affection. It's not a matter of if Christ is worthy of all my value, my adoration. Christ is worthy. It's not a question of, is Christ worthy of my time? Christ is worthy, but do we give it to Him? God has declared His Son to be worthy, and He is 100% satisfied with Christ. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. It's not very far away from where we're at now. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12, we see that Christ has set, that God has set Christ above all things and has given him the preeminence. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12 says, "Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things consist, and He is the head of the body, the church. who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. It pleased the Father to exalt his Son, to make him preeminent over all things, to make him the head of the church. Philippians 2, 9 through 11 says, Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and every and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Matthew 3, 16 through 17 says, And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we could go on forever. You know, as we think about a message of Christ as the center, you can almost say, well, which area of the Scripture would you like me to go to? Because we can go to the Old Testament and we can see the looking forward to Christ, the one who would be that perfect sacrifice for our sins. We can go to the life of Christ in the Gospels, and we can go to the New Testament in Paul's letters, and we can see Christ. He's all the way through the Scripture. Christ is the center. God the Father has declared him to be precious, to be beloved. But do we agree with God that Christ is valuable? Not just, yes, I say Christ is valuable. Do our lives portray our beliefs? Do our lives reflect what we believe? Could I just look at your life and say, they have a life centered on Christ? They value Christ more than anything else? Or do our lives tell a different story? Let me jump a little bit. So is Christ precious to us? In 1 Peter chapter 2. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. Actually, let's back up to verse 6. It says, Therefore it is also contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. So is Christ precious to us? Do we place him first in our lives? Or do we only think of him on Sundays? Is, you know, hey, come on Sunday morning, I think about Christ, the rest of my life, I do what I want. The rest of my life, I got a lot of things to do. I got work, I got school, I got, you know, a schedule to keep. The world demands our time, the world demands our affection, and Christ gets pushed to Sunday morning. Or he gets pushed to that time when life turns kind of sour and I need a helping hand. I need somebody to make life a little bit better, and so I'm going to call out on Christ and say, Lord, please help me. Is that where we place Christ? Is he on the back burner until we need him, or until Sunday morning, and he just takes back seat to our plans, our goals, and our desires? Christ is valuable. He is precious. Do we live that way? Is that the way we view him? Stephen Curtis Chapman wrote in his song called See the Glory, he said, I never did like the word mediocre. I never wanted it to be said of me. Just point me to the top and I'd go over, looking for the very best that I could be. So what is this thing I see going on inside of me? When it comes to the grace of God, sometimes it's like I'm playing Game Boy standing in the middle of the Grand Canyon, or eating candy sitting at a gourmet feast. I'm waiting in a puddle when I could be swimming in the ocean. I know the time has come for me to wake up and see the glory. When we get caught up in our lives, in this things of this world, and what we want, in our plans, we leave Christ out, and we don't count all things as loss for Christ. Instead, we count him as a loss compared to everything else. We say, well, I could read my Bible this morning, but, you know, I've really got a busy day, and if I read my Bible, then I'm not going to have time for this, 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 and this, and, you know, or, hey, I could go to church this morning, but I really stayed up late last night, and I don't really feel like going, and if I go to church, then I'm not going to have time to do X, Y, Z, and so all of a sudden, Christ is now the loss. We don't count the world as lost. We don't count the things of this world, the things of this flesh as lost, but we count him as lost for the sake of this world, and we get it backwards. And we miss out on what he has for us. We try and squeeze Christ into our lives instead of letting Christ live his life through us. And we miss out on what he has for us because we are distracted by what seems so important right now. And in reality, it's really small and insignificant when compared with our Savior and when compared in the light of eternity. You know, when we first came to Christ, you think about when you were first saved and you were just in love with your Savior because of what he had done for you. You heard how Jesus Christ, the Son of God, loved you so much that he would come and die on the cross, pay the penalty for your sins, pay the penalty that you deserve to pay. He would be beaten, he would be tortured, and he would be killed. He would be crucified as an innocent man, one who had never done anything wrong. I mean, literally never done anything wrong. This isn't where a human being is in a courtroom and they say, well, he hasn't broken the law. This is where Jesus Christ, a perfect man who had never sinned against God, who had never committed a sin, was put to death in our stead and paid the sins of the whole world. He took the price. He took the penalty that we should have paid. And you heard the gospel story and you responded in faith. And you accepted that free gift that Christ offers to each and every one of us. And you were in love and on fire for your Savior because he was the one who paid that penalty for you. And he was the one who was most important in your life. But as time goes on and the world demands our attention, the world demands our time, the world demands our resources, and before long, Christ goes to the back burner. Christ is saved for Sunday morning, and eternity is where we go when we die. Eternity is not the reality. Eternity is where I go when I die, and the here and now is now what matters. And so we do not value our Savior. The world places demands on us. It demands our time. It demands our resources. It says, you have to do this. You have to have this job. You have to spend this amount of time to make it. You have to have this car. You have to do these things in order to succeed in life. The world says, you have to give us everything you have. You have to do what we want. You have to give us all you've got. And the world demands every little bit of time that we have. But we have to take that time and we have to dedicate it to Christ because he is what's most important. He is what is most valuable. And eternity is the reality. Eternity is what really matters. You think about the 70, 80, maybe 100 years you might have here compared to eternity. What is that? I mean, how small do you want to make it? It just keeps getting smaller and smaller. We have an eternity ahead of us, yet we invest so much and we put so much value on the small and insignificant things of this life. But the world leads us to believe that we can't live without what it offers, that we have to give it everything we have. But in reality, Christ is what is most valuable. And that is the way that Paul lived his life. Paul says, I count all things as loss for the excellencies of knowing Christ Jesus. It was that knowledge of Christ. And as we spend time in his word, as we dedicate that time to him, as we consider him to be the most valuable, the most important thing in the world, the most important thing in our lives, as we dedicate that time to him, we spend time in the word. And it is through spending time in the word that we grow to know him more and more and realize more and more the value that he has. And so this is Paul's life that he lived. You know, Christ loves us more than we could ever comprehend. And, you know, we think, well, Christ, it seems like, oh, well, he demands so much. No, the world demands so much. Christ, out of love, desires to give us the best thing that he has, and that is himself. Turn with me to John chapter 17. John chapter 17 and verse 20. This is one of my favorite passages in Scripture. John chapter 17 and verse 20. And the scene before us is Christ praying first for His disciples. But as we pick up in verse 20, we see that Christ begins to pray not only for His disciples, but for all those who will believe in Him. He begins to pray for us. He begins to pray for the believers. In John chapter 17 and verse 20, Jesus says, "I do not pray for these alone," speaking of His disciples, "but also for those who will believe in Me through their word, that they may be one as You, Father, are in Me and I in You, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that You sent Me. And the glory which You gave Me, I have given them, that they may be one just as We are one, I in them and You in Me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that You have sent Me and have loved them as You have loved Me. Father, I desire that they also whom You gave Me may be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory, which You have given Me, for You loved Me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known You, but I have known You, and these have known that You sent Me. And I have declared to them Your name, and will declare it, that the love with which You loved Me may be in them, and I in them." And when you first read it, it's almost too much. It's You and Me and I and Them and Us and We and all of us together. But the more you read it and the more you start putting it together, you have to slow down and read it kind of slow. But as you see, Christ's desire is for Him to be in us, for us and He and the Father, we all, for us to be one. He wants us to be one with Him. He wants us to be with Him where He is. He wants us to experience His glory. That's Christ's desire for you and me, to be with Him, to be one with Him, to experience firsthand His glory. Because the best thing that Christ can possibly give you is Himself. The best thing that Christ has to offer is Him. And so, you know, we miss out on so much when we do not value our Savior. When we get caught up with the temporal things, when we get caught up with what we want, we miss out on what is truly valuable. Christ wants to give us the most valuable, the greatest thing that He possibly can, and it is Himself. And so, I don't know if any of you ever actually followed Nate Bramson's series that he did through the month of March as he went through Psalms chapter 1, and he talked about the blessed man. And Psalms chapter 1, I'll just read it real quick, verses 1 and 2 said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night." His delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight is in the Word of God. And I'd encourage you to go back. It's on YouTube. You can go back and watch all 31 messages that Nate did. And they're very, very good. And Nate goes in a lot more detail. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. His desire is in that which he values. And that should be our attitude towards Christ. One that desires Him and one that values Him above all else. Paul said, "I count all things loss." All things, everything this world has to offer, everything that he did in his past life, all his accomplishments, anything that seems important in this world, Paul says, "I count it as loss, I count it as rubbish for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus." Christ was his delight. He was his joy. He was valuable to him. So I ask the question again, do we really value Christ? Is he really number one in our lives? And if we are brutally honest with ourselves, I think we all come to the conclusion that we do not value Him nearly enough. You know, I definitely do not value Christ nearly as much as I should. But we know that our Savior still has that great love and mercy towards us. But the more we seek Him, the more we learn of Him, the more we value Him. And that's what Paul says, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Just to know our Savior is a wonderful thing, and holding Him as our focus, of our lives, believing that He is precious and valuable and excellent, is the foundation that we build on. You know, if I don't value Christ, what motivation do I have to serve Christ? If I don't value Christ, how can I turn to Philippians chapter 1 and say, for me to live is Christ? If I don't value Christ, how can I, you know, I'm like these ones in Philippians chapter 2 where Paul says they have no interest in the things of Christ because they're too concerned about their own interest. And we'll talk about that a little bit in the next couple of sessions. But if the value of Christ, what I think of Christ, if me holding Christ is the center of my life, me holding Christ is the most valuable, the most important thing in my life, is the foundation. If I don't find Christ important, if I don't find Him valuable, if I don't hold Him as the most awesome, most excellent thing, then what motivation do I have to do anything else? I mean, you know, if you really could care less about the latest TV show, why would you watch it? If you don't care, what's the difference? But if I care, if Christ is the most excellent, the most important, the number one thing in my life, then everything I do revolves around that thing. It revolves around Him. The Bible from the beginning to the end is about Christ. And if we leave Christ out, we have missed the entire point. There's a church in Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. We won't go there to read it now. But the church at Ephesus. And Christ says to that church at Ephesus that you've lost your first love. You've left your first love. The church at Ephesus was doing a lot of great things. The church at Ephesus was fighting hard against false doctrine. The church at Ephesus knew their Bibles, but the church of Ephesus had left their first love. The church at Ephesus, they were concerned about being right. They were concerned about, we're dead on, we know the Scripture, but they left Christ out. And they had no love for their Savior. They had left their first love, and they had missed the whole point. Have we left our first love? Do we value Christ? Is He our foundation? Do we do everything based on our view of Him? Do we consider Him excellent? Do we consider Him precious? Do we consider Him as beloved? And so we'll spend tomorrow looking at how we continue in the Christ-centered life, and it all starts with our view of Him, how we consider Him valuable and precious. Do we believe it, and does it show forth in our lives? Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank You this evening for who You are. We thank You that You are that You're preeminent, that You are our Savior, that You're the one who would take the penalty for our sins, that You would come and die on the cross for us. Lord, we just pray that You would help us day by day to learn more of You and to hold You as first place in our lives. Lord, I pray that we would value You more than anything else, that we would consider You excellent, precious, and beloved, and that You would be the center, that our lives would revolve around You. And so we just pray as we go forth this evening, I pray that You will work in each and every one of our hearts. Lord, I pray that You'll give us safe travels to our host homes and safe travels back here again to hear Your word tomorrow. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.